Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Pray that everybody's been having a blessed week. Tonight, Apostolic Church. One of the things that's going on in the church today is that some have embraced it and some have shown from it. For whatever reason, we have made a mockery of the Apostolic Church or the Apostolic Ministry and the foundation that God has set forth in for the church concerning the Apostolic Ministry. And the Apostolic Ministry simply was supposed to be a distinct, separate entity from the world, not from each other, but from the world. But when we look at the apostolic churches today, there's all different kinds of beliefs and doctrines. And so we're really confused about the apostolic church because we don't know what is what. But because a lot of times we've been going on doing things for so long that we've gotten comfortable with it, what God has done is really duplicated or extended the church as far as Exodus. And his whole purpose in Exodus when dealing with the children of Israel, he was not just bringing them out of Egypt, but he had purpose through Abraham that he would establish a people, his own people, in the earth. And the reason why he chose to establish his own people because of the sin that was in the earth. So God's whole idea of dealing with the Jews was to bring them out so that they know the heart of God and that they be separate, but they not be separate from just from the people, but they would be an example of righteousness in the earth because it was so much sin. And so here it is today. God has design or had in his heart to do the same thing over because of the sin, and we know sin has been great in the earth, and so God has designed or wanted to intensify the anointing and ability and the power and authority of the church in the earth to reach those that are lost. So the Apostolic Church is not a denomination. It's not being baptized in Jesus' name. It is simply the voice of God, the righteousness of God. In other words, God's not going to come down here and slap folks over the face and tell them I'm God. But he was going to establish an entity, a body of believers that represented him in its fullness, in its entirety. Now, how was this going to be done? It was not going to be done just through knowing of God, but it was of God, but it was going to know God in a personal manner, and that's through his word and by his spirit. And we have to understand that we established, the church is established on the word, and this is what we are supposed to keep and perform today, and that's what makes the apostolic church, our ability to keep God's word and demonstrate it in the earth, not just so that we can make a name for ourselves, but that God can be glorified. And those that are lost would see the power and the glory through the church and know that God was alive and well, and he's saving. But we've gotten away, and God is really, in this day and time, we can see there's a fluctuation of men and women that are trying to grasp a little bit of the apostolic, really, by titles, and which I thank God that we're trying to get back into what God has already set as a foundation. Now, you have to understand the calling of the apostolic, or understand the meaning or the terminology of the apostolic. Simply, there are two things about the apostolic. It is one that is called and one that is sent. So in the apostolic, we receive a word from God, and we are sent with that word to deliver that word. That is the apostolic. The apostolic is not prophesying. It's not laying on of hands. Those are just demonstrations of the apostolic for the unbelievers. But we're having our little parties, our apostolic parties in the churches where we're laying hands on everybody. We're prophesying to everybody. Amen. And we're abusing the apostolic call, the true apostolic call, when we abuse the people of God by our titles. And this is not the true essence of what God called us to when he called us to be an apostolic church. But the glory is going to come back in the demonstration of the apostolic. It is going to come back because God is not going to leave himself without a witness. And I believe that God has designed men and women to walk in the apostolic, to establish truth in the earth, that when he returns, that the earth won't be without a witness, that they cannot say that they did not recognize or they did not see the glory of the Lord in the earth. But God has to begin with us. He has to start the process with us. And if he's going to start the process with us as believers, then we have to know and understand the true position and authority that God has given us through his word. I want to start, I'm just going to read a little bit of this the study guide, but I'm really going to get into the different chapters, and y'all pray for me that I'll be able to share with you in totality the different chapters as much as I can. All right, study guide, distinguishing marks of the apostolic church. The word of God declares in Hosea 6 and 3b, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and former rain unto the earth. We are all on the verge of a new wave of God's glory that will flow across the earth, Habakkuk 2 and 14. A divine realignment is coming forth in the church for the strategic placement of God's people and to fulfill his purpose. The very foundations of church as we know it are being shaken by God even now to remove those things that are not rooted and grounded in him, Jesus Christ. And now we see and understand that the church is unbalanced because we're not standing on the right foundation. Some are not standing on the right foundation. And we build up the church and we don't have the right foundation, that church is not going to stand. I don't care how well it grows and how big it becomes, how large it becomes, and how expressive it becomes in the community. If it doesn't have the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ, that is what the apostolic promotes. It promotes Jesus Christ as the foundation. And it not only promotes it, but it distinguishes it as the foundation and also the head. So from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head is distinguished by Jesus Christ. And we don't detour or get away from the message of Jesus Christ. The reason why we don't get away from that message is because we're in constant relationship. The apostolic church has to be in constant relationship and constant communion to present as one that was called and one that was sent. In other words, there are those that call themselves apostles on the earth, but you can't walk in apostolic if you don't have a message from God. You must have a message from God. Well, Apostle, we all have a message. Amen. But the true apostolic has the divine message that God gives, in which he relates in the scripture when he calls those that he reveals his message or his word to, friends. And so we have to understand that we have to be, if we're going to walk in the apostolic and the church is going to come back to the apostolic as the original foundation, is that we've got to get the message from God, not just from those that are around us, not from our favorite teachers or preachers, but our message comes divinely from God. The reason why it has to come directly and divinely from God is because of the purpose that it carries, the anointing that it carries. The ability that it carries. In other words, when God gives you the message, it's going to come with direct power from him. In other words, if he sent you, he's going to anoint you with the ability to do what he called you to do. So have to understand that the church has to be shaken because the foundation has to be put back in place. Not our conferences and conferences, and don't take this wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about conferences and different services and anniversaries, but we must understand that our true purpose and essence is to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We don't skip the foundation and go right into the apostles and prophets doctrine. We start with the foundation, and we have to know and come in relationship with pure relationship with Jesus Christ. And not that we are pure, but he makes us pure in his presence. With the emergence of God's apostles and prophets, God's government shall be established in the spirit of the apostolic, will there be released with local churches universally. The apostolic church shall rise, uniting together as one body in Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. Culminating into the destiny of the church of Jesus Christ. What must a local body of believers do to receive this impartation? The ministry of the apostles and prophets must be received and embraced. For decades, the ministry of the apostles and prophets have been excluded and shunned. Through traditional and religious teachings, many leaders veered off the path and have not followed the pattern of God. His word in its entirety, the word of God says in Ephesians 2:20-21, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. And to add to that as well, there is the church that believes that we don't have a need for the ministry of the apostles and prophets because they simply claim that the foundation has already been laid. The direction has already been given through the word of God, and I don't dispute that. But what is God going to use, or what is God going to send forth to establish that? We understand that the foundation has been given, and the apostles and prophets should not come with a new message. No, we don't come with a new message, but we establish what God has already spoken. For those that don't know the heart of God, that's why God puts those gifts in place, to reinforce what he's already laid up as a foundation. None of us wasn't there when the apostles and prophets walked the earth, but as God has revealed unto us, those that he separated and he's sent forth, he's established that word in our heart that we must progress and bring authority to that word. We must bring forth a rigid walk with God to the church. And we have to establish, in other words, there's incorrect teaching that's going around. There's false teaching that's going around. And so God has to establish the apostles and prophets to bring truth. How do we come to the conclusion of truth? We have to have false. There has to be a difference. There has to be something that is incorrect for there to be truth. And so we understand that the enemy brings lies and ungodliness and untruth. So God has to establish the apostles and prophets today, which he's given those gifts to men, not to angels, but he's given it to men that walk holy and separated lives before God to establish truth. What will take place when the apostolic anointing is received? Where will the apostles and prophets are received and embraced? An establishing will take place based on the biblical pattern. What will we see that will distinguish the apostolic church? And the very first thing that must be established is the love of God. When we talk about the love, we don't just talk about directed towards one another, but the love of God must be projected to the whole world, not just our fellow believers that go to our church. Our love must penetrate and go forth to those that are not a part of our local body, but the love of God must be embraced and disseminated amongst the body as a whole. It must be sent out or it must be demonstrated, and it must cross racial barriers, denominational barriers, religious barriers. That's the true love of God. Well, how do we determine that? We can go to the scripture where Jesus dealt with the woman at the Samaritan, which crossed barriers. It crossed human barriers. You know, different beliefs. There was doctrine that was involved in it. Was race involved with it? And Jesus crossed all of that by the love of God, because he understood that the woman had a need, and he was the supplier of that need. So he had to cross those barriers. So that was a demonstration right there of the apostolic. Everything that he did through the word was not just to show that who he was, but it was a demonstration not for just the disciples, but for those that would come along, that he was going outside of the box to demonstrate the love of God. And this is an example that he's given us, not that we could just make disciples of men, which he did, but the very first thing is that if he was going to reach this woman, that he had to reach her by the love of God. Not just the love of God, but as we receive and as we God, we receive revelation. And this revelation that we receive is not a new revelation. It's not something new, but we God up our heart to the word in its entirety. So we know in part, but as we walk with the Lord, doesn't mean that God's not going to reveal the whole thing to us. Not just in revelation, but in unity, and which is all these are part of the love of God. These different parts of what distinguishes the apostolic church comes right out of the love of God, which is unity, wisdom, power, signs, and wonders. The cry of the Spirit of God is that we, the church, will be revived, restored, refreshed, and established on the true foundation and do the work of the ministry. The apostolic church will rest in the finished work of Christ and understand the mystery of the Father's grace. God is love, and his people will walk in love toward all men. 1 John 2:5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, and a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. The church will no longer be contained within four walls, but will have the heart of the Father to go out into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Luke 14:23. The church will once again be the reflection of Jesus Christ, manifesting the goodness of God to the world. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Romans 2:4. All creation itself is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8:20. And if there's anything that I would conclude with that, we would say amen. All right, let's take a look at chapter 1, the ministry of the apostle and the spirit of the apostolic. And again, we revert, and I want to read you a little meaning. The word apostolic comes from the Greek word apostolos, which originally means apostolic or apostles. The meaning of the word simply means this. It means to be set apart, to sent out, literally or figuratively, put in, sent, away, forth, out, set at liberty. That's the understanding that we have to, that's the understanding that we receive concerning the apostles. And first and foremost, they're set aside. Amen. They're not set aside for their own benefit, but they're set aside for the glory of God. That God can distinguish, and I cannot emphasize it enough, distinguish himself as through the men and women of God, that he can impart, and not just impart, but to send forth. There are two aspects of the apostolic. One was called and functioned as an apostle. And so we only function and we only operate through the instructions that God gives us, through his word. So we got to be influenced by the word. We have to be instructed by the word, by the Spirit of God, to understand the move of God and the presentation that God has for the church and the apostolic. There are mistakes and there are errors that will be made if God does not have a true move of the apostolic in the church. There are too many times that those that think they know have no clue because it has not been a divine move of God or the Spirit of God, which we look at number two, the apostolic spirit that the Lord released. I want to combine the two. So first thing is that God has to have the call placed on the men and women that he's separating. There has to be a call. So you can, in other words, what it's telling us is that you cannot call yourself to the office or the gifting of the apostle. God must call you to the office. Because the only way that he's got to call you, or the reason that he's called you, is because he's entrusting in you to keep the foundation that is laid. And so we have to understand that when he calls us, we must obtain the spirit of the apostolic. Because if we don't, we will detour or we'll get off track of what God's purpose is of when he called us. So you got to stay focused and you got to grab hold of what God has called you to. He didn't call you for yourself. He didn't call you for the church. He calls you for himself. And then once he's able to establish his word in you and allow his spirit to operate through you, then you are one that is sent with a message. And what happens is when God gives you a message and it is settled in your spirit and it is settled in your heart, you don't deter and you don't get off track of that message. No matter how much money is put on the table, no matter how many people are established in your ministry, you don't and give you funny looks and turn their eyes, suck their teeth, and fold their arms. It does not deter you from the message because you have already been settled with the foundation and you understand the method of the madness of why you're there, of why God has sent you. And you cannot get away from that, no matter how hard you try to get away from it because of outside influences. When God releases the apostolic spirit on you, I don't care if you deter from it for a season, God's going to bring you back to it. He's going to remind you of it. That's what the divine call is all about, of the apostolic move, that God is going to constantly keep you abreast and remind you of what he called you to do. You may change, but the message is not going to change. And so we have to embrace the message if we're going to embrace the ministry. What did God tell you? What did he put in your spirit? What word did he give you? We have to understand that we're going to be faced with obstacles when we walk in this apostolic. Go back into the book of Acts and you look at the, better yet, you go back even farther. Look at the prophets that were established, the major and minor prophets, the ridicule and the destruction that they went through to establish God's word. And then we go over into the New Testament when he chooses the 12 and the obstacles that they go through, and even bring Paul into play. The obstacle, not just on the outside of those that did not want them, but mainly on the inside. The church did not embrace it. But they had a job to do, and they understood who they were representing and why they were where they were. And they had a sense of direction. And the reason why they had a sense of direction, they was not educated men. They were businessmen, but they were not God is restoring the role office, the role of the office of the apostle and prophet. And we have to understand that they go together, because really the first thing, if I could flip flop, and I don't want to sound like I'm changing the scripture, but the original beginning is founded through the prophet. And Jesus said that I didn't come to tear down the teaching of the prophets, but I came to build it up, to establish it. In other words, he wasn't tearing down the Old Testament, but he was coming to establish it, not in religion, but in the heart of man, so that man understood the laws of God in the heart. So in other words, somebody asked me, was it wrong to go to the movies? What is the Spirit of God saying in your heart? And so we have to establish that in the heart of the people. The reason why people fight so hard against the Word of God is because it's not in their heart. And that is the major issue, or the major call of the apostles and prophets. To establish the Word in the people's heart, to bring the people back to God. Bring the people back to God. And so God is bringing it back in full force. It never went anywhere. It's just left to us to pick up the mantle that God has laid before us. Now, I would not tell anybody that if you're not called to walk in that the area of ministry, it still does not exempt you that from walking in the apostolic call. Does it mean that you, as we call it, title, the apostle? I don't like to use that term because it is a gift. It is a gift that God has given to the body. And this is why so many are turned off, because we've taken it as my calling. And I walk in the authority. I walk in the rulership or guidance of the authority. In other words, I can do whatever I want to as an apostle. Not so. To walk in the apostolic means that you're totally committed and submitted to the will and the work of the Lord. And not saying that this is going to happen overnight, but it is a process. It took 3.5 years for the disciples to understand, and not even did they grasp, even when Jesus left, did they grasp the apostolic, but it happened when the Spirit of the Lord was released on them in the apostolic. So everything that Jesus had taught them and built up in them, in a blink of an eye, they had left it. But when they got to the upper room and the Spirit of God was released on them, everything that Jesus had taught them had came to remembrance, and not only that, they were empowered to do the work that God had already established when he called them. Now here comes the sending part. And so this is why he has to reestablish this again in us. And we have to get back to, we have to understand, if we're going to walk in apostolic, we have to fully embrace and understand the call of the apostolic. Before we can move the church into that area, God has to call individuals. So this is why God has anointed you to be in this apostolic and prophetic teaching. Everyone has not embraced it. So God has designed and set aside you and I, so that we can receive. This is the separating part right now, so that you and I can receive from him in our separation, that we come out not just with power, but the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord? He has established that. And I know sometimes the church has gone through so much that it won't embrace, but this is why God has separated. They would challenge the old and reveal the new. This is what I just talked about. And we're received. An impartation of apostolic will penetrate the very core of each believer. A repositioning in the spirit will take place, bringing divine realignment, a restructuring and God's order. All believers have resident within them the anointing of Christ. Therefore, all believers should do what? Have a heart to reach the uttermost. That is the first call of the first mission of a believer, is not to show up to the church and say, look what I got. But the heart of a believer that is called to apostolic, the first direction that we have, or the first thing that is placed on our heart, is the heart of man. Because this is the divine will of God, and God wants to reach his creation, man. And how does he do that? By imparting his spirit into men, in relationship with those that that we are surrounded with. So we have to have a heart to reach the uttermost. Hear God and speak for him. And walking in the apostolic doesn't mean that you spend a month in the presence of God and you don't hear from God anymore. God wants to constantly speak to you, because there's different areas and aspects of ministry that God wants to reveal to you. And there's things that about the apostolic that I don't even know that God is expressing and teaching me as I'm walking with him. Even as I just took a trip to Florida, there was things in the apostolic that I did not know, and God revealed it to me before I went, and then allowed it to be demonstrated when I got there, to prove that there was the apostolic anointing that needed to be demonstrated in the earth. So God is constantly speaking to us and developing us. And if you don't have an ear to hear, to constantly hear God, even when it's not something that you want to hear, even when it's rebuked, go back and take a look at Peter. When Peter went to deny Christ of his glory by dying on the cross, he looked at Jesus and said, "Not so." But Jesus was adamant about the spirit that was in operation. He was strong against the spirit in operation. So we have to constantly be in communion if we're going to hear God. You can't speak, but you can't relay the message if you don't hear the messenger. When God is speaking directly to you, he doesn't send someone to speak for him to you, but he speaks directly to you. And how does he speak directly to you? Does he have to come down and visit you? No, he speaks directly through his word. The Bible says that he honored his word above his name. So you got to be able to embrace his word, eat the whole roll, have a heart to win the laws, hunger for the word, and share revelation with others. Even if it don't sound right to others, even sometimes God may express some things to you and you may be ashamed or afraid to share them. But to share them, you have to embrace them. You have to embrace what God is speaking. You have to embrace it. You have to love the word for yourself. You can't, a lot of times what preachers are doing around the country, they're establishing and studying and building messages, and they haven't become a part of what they're ministering. That's out of order. The first part, we must be first partaker of the fruit. If we're going to walk in a divine apostolic ministry, we must first embrace it for ourselves. We must partake of it for ourselves. We must establish it in our hearts for ourselves if we're going to share the message that God has given us. A lot of times we study the word and we can identify people that are guilty of the word, but that's out of order. God wanted us to partake of it. We must be first partakers of the fruit. We must participate in what God is saying, amen, that we are not guilty when he establishes us and sends us forth to share the word. So the word must clean us up first before it establishes or cleans up or gives direction and guidance to others. We must have a heart to disciple others. In other words, if we're going to walk in this apostolic, we must be patient. Patience is so important and vital to the body, because there are times when you want when you have the message, those that don't embrace the message, it takes them a time to receive the message. In other words, to receive it, not just receive it, but to live it. A lot of times, as you establish your ministry and you begin to teach and preach, and those that don't embrace it right away, it takes patience, because we have to allow the word to work. Even though the disciples had walked with Jesus 3.5 years after he left, they went a fishing. But Jesus did not give up on him, he showed up. He showed up right there on the seashore while they were fishing. To reestablish the word. And so you sometimes you have to reiterate. The apostolic is patient. You have to reiterate and you have to let the word work. Why? Why do you let the word work? Because you believe in it. You trust in it. And you know it came from it came divinely from heaven. And so if you're limited in areas that you can go. You're limited in direction that you can go because you're only one person. This is why God establishes discipleship. And so we have to have a heart to impart and empower others with the same authority. Many times I did not understand, even for children and even for middle age, God has allowed me to go into places and speak out of my mouth to lay hands on others to charge them with the apostolic. Even if their level of life is not where it should be, does not mean that God has not imparted that to them, because there's areas in Florida and Georgia and New England and Mexico, California. There's areas that I cannot go. But those that live in those different parts, as he did the woman at the well, when he imparted life unto her, she went back to the city. Not only did she get straightened out, but she established his word in the city and told him to come see a man. This is why he chose the 12, because he knew the 12 would get 24. He knew the 24 would get 48. It will be multiplied. And so that's the very essence of why we do what we do, to not just to reach the church, but to disciple them. That is your function in the apostolic. Thus God, through the ministry of the apostle, shall release the spirit of the ministry. The spirit of the apostolic. Divine connections will be made, uniting ministries and local churches. This is what we have to establish. We're going to function in full apostolic. We've got to come back together. We can't allow our doctrines. And doctrines will cause us not to agree, but doesn't mean that we don't have the foundation. And that's one thing that we have to get over, is that we have the foundation. If you believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we're supposed to come together. And walking in the apostolic, you embrace that. Well, I'm not going to preach at their church because they Jesus only. But you're not establishing the apostolic. Many times, those that don't know what it is, but by the spirit that was released in the place, by the apostolic anointing that was released in the place, it will begin the process of change. And eyes will be opened. So we can't limit ourselves and say, well, I'm not going to that church because it's a Catholic church. You have to understand your assignment and mission. If that would have been true, then we would have no scriptures, because Paul constantly, by the pushing of the Jewish believers or the Jewish unbelievers pushed him to the Gentiles where he was supposed to be. So he embraced them and saw them doing the will of God. So we have to go outside of our box if we're going to establish this apostolic ministry that God has given us. Thus God, through the ministry of the apostles, shall release the spirit of that ministry. Spirit of the apostolic, divine connection will be made using ministries with local churches. To give further understanding here, just as the prophet, when received, speaks by divine inspiration, cutting through deception and imparting the prophetic spirit, so it is with the ministry of the apostle. A deposit of the gift is made, which will restructure the heart of believers as well as restructure the foundation of the local church. Chapter 2, Archetype. A pattern, as defined in brief by Webster, is something to be imitated, a person or thing considered worthy of imitation or copy, a model or plan used as a guide. All right? So this is the divine call that God has called you to for separation, that those that are not set on the foundation will have a proper example or understanding through the Spirit of God has released in you through the apostolic. We say it's a bad thing for those to mimic and copy, but it's not always a bad thing. If there's not a divine order of release through copying, in other words, I see T.D. Jakes preaching a message. I have no authority to preach his message because there has been not been an apostolic or divine release to preach that message. But when I come in connection to those that God has sent with the message, my job is not to just rejoice and shout and dance, but my job is to imitate or to demonstrate what has been given. So therefore, we must have that perfect model or plan as a God. In the apostolic, God needs the archetype. There has to be a setup of what he's established through the apostolic. The church as a whole entity, it must be a divine pattern. In other words, you just don't go and construct a building just by thought pattern. You must have a plan. And what do? Archetype, architect. We must set out a plan so that when we establish or build what God has called us to build, we cannot make a mistake because it will crumble and fall. How do we build that? Through the Word of God. How do we establish that? Through the Word of God and through our relationship with Christ. Because there will be those that don't even read the Word. But we are living epistles rather men. So we have to have that divine build up or makeup as it relates to the apostolic. We are to be imitators of Christ, being transformed by the Spirit of God into his image. The book of Acts reveals a pattern of how the church should function. Number one, we should see souls being saved. Now, this is a touchy situation for me because too many times I've heard good messages, I've heard good sermons, I've seen the people dance and shout, but we've gotten so far, I was brought up in the church that souls were being saved. I saw it with my own eyes. And so our messages, because we can't get sinners to come to church, we don't even have altar calls anymore because we missed it and we've lost that anointing as it relates to the apostolic call to reach the lost. Not just in the church, but on our jobs, in our schools, in the businesses. That should be our function. When we operate in the true apostolic call, our heart should be set for those that are lost. I've been around sinners all my life. I was in sin. So there should be, number one, a compassion for where God has brought you from in relationship to those that have and are walking in the footsteps you walked in. And if it was not for the grace of God, you embrace the call for souls. That is your first and foremost assignment as it relates to the apostolic call to ministry. Also, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That means you don't get away from the message. And when we talk about fellowship, it just doesn't mean that we get together and have a meal or have services, but we divinely come together and to know those that labor among us. When we talk about fellowship, it calls for those that labor among you. Knowing the spirit of in operation that those that sit next to you on the pew. Those that operate in ministry as we do. Disciples were upset because there were men that were preaching Jesus, preaching the doctrine of Jesus, or preaching the word of Jesus, and hadn't walked with him. And they wanted to shut it down. Jesus deterred them or discouraged it. We got to know that God has more than just us. Breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon all, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. There was unity amongst the believers, and they had all things common. And this is what we have to get back to. We've got to have all things common. Not just by our sign, but even we hear today that those that believe that they walk in the apostolic, that they can curse the people of God. That is not the true apostolic call. That is not the divine call that God has called us, because he said he did not come to destroy men's life, but to save it. And because men and women don't give offering like we want them to, we put curses on them. That's not the will of God. That's of the devil. That's of the enemy. The enemy wants to see those destroyed because of our religious beliefs. And so we have to turn that. In other words, when we talk about fear came upon all, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. But we, in essence, when we talk about fear, that don't mean that we shudder at these men. But we have a fear of God in relationship that we love God. And when we talk about the fear of God, we talk about the love of God. We do the will of God because we love God. And God shows us signs and wonders in the earth because he loves us. He wants to redirect us and bring us back to himself. And this is why he used divine men to show forth his power in the earth, that God is still using men and women to raise their open blinded eyes, to reestablish his love in the earth. That God still loves man, that if the doctor gives up on you, he sends the apostolic anointing to redirect or to cast out the enemy. And those that see that there is divine healing become fearful in the love of God. There was unity amongst the believers, and they had all things common. That's Acts 2, 41 and 47. The apostolic church is one that receives, restored, present-day truth, and is willing to pay the price to know Christ and to allow the Spirit of God infiltrate the very structure of government in the local church and the structure of the heart. Old mindsets will willingly be put to death to gain the mind of Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering. Be made conformable unto his death. And apostolic people are willing to lose all to gain Christ. His desire. His heart has become their heart. They have received the apostle and impartation of the spirit of the apostolic, and they are on a pursuit to please the Father, not man, with a heart of love for all mankind. So our first call is the love of God. And as a result of the love of God, we shed abroad in our heart, we show the love of God to all mankind, not just saved folk, but sinners as well. So there has to be a transformation. And that transformation is just a restoration of where we were supposed to be, or where we come from, or where we have been established at. Chapter 3, abnormal. The church that received the apostle cannot remain the same and will deviate from what is termed as normal, and to many will appear as abnormal. The apostolic church will no longer fit the predetermined mold of religion and tradition. That means that that God has sent us forth and set us aside. And it will not look usual because so many have not seen the apostolic move. So therefore, if I've never seen it before, yes, it will become abnormal to me. It will become abnormal to others. So that doesn't mean that we fear walking in apostolic because we are afraid to embrace what God has called us to, but fear what man will think and deny our true call, our true position in the kingdom. And if you allow this to happen, you're being cheated. You're being robbed by the enemy of your true place in the kingdom. Cannot be put in the box. Cannot be put in a position where it doesn't relate to who you are in Christ Jesus. You cannot be bound by religion and tradition, but you're bound by the Spirit and the authority and the Word of God. And therefore, in your operation, and you're operating in the apostolic, don't mean that you're quacky. As my pastor said, a monkey eating soda crackers. That you can't function mentally, but you act as if you don't have a father. That's not the true call of being abnormal. Abnormal means that you're demonstrating what those you're demonstrating the power of God, which some have not seen and have not witnessed. Full of faith in God and believing that all things are possible, apostolic believers shall venture out doing as Jesus commanded in Mark 16:17-18. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the signs. Does it mean that this is the full authority? But you the full authority comes through the faith. You don't operate unless you have the faith, and that comes that has the full faith in God. In other words, there are things that you may have not seen yourself, but does not mean that God is not doing it and God is not operating. But God is just looking for someone to believe in Him and trust Him fully to operate through. If we're going to please God, we have to have that full faith to trust Him that what He said He's going to do, He's going to do, and He's going to do it divinely through you. It has to be a presentation. How will those that don't know Him, how will those that are called walk in the full capacity of their calling except they have the apostolic call? And that comes through the demonstration through you, according to your faith, not according to your word. They work hand in hand. By your faith comes your works. The apostolic church will be unpredictable, full of spontaneity. But we don't operate outside of the word. Understand that. You don't operate on your own. Walking in the apostolic, you are one that's called and sent. So you don't operate on your own. You operate in full capacity of the word. Just to detour a little bit, I went to a service last week while I was in Florida, and I seen a man that was called to be an apostle, and he spent 3.5 hours with all kind of gimmicks and all kind of mind operations. And a lot of times it has a motivation, but it wasn't motivated by God. He's operated by the will of man. It took 5 minutes to preach and 3 hours to prophesy, lay hands, and get people to run around the church, spin around 3 times, knocking people down. But when we talk about the apostolic church will be unpredictable, full of spontaneity, that means that it just doesn't operate when you come in church on Sunday morning. It can operate 3 o'clock in the morning. It can be an operation in the grocery line. So to walk in the apostolic, we got to be fully open and aware of the Spirit of God that operates at any time in our life. And it doesn't operate when we want it to. It operates in the will of the Father. And if you're going to operate in the full capacity of the apostolic, you must embrace the Spirit of God that's on the inside, that at any time the Spirit of God is released and you hear the voice of God speaking in your spirit, you must open up and allow the apostolic anointing to be released wherever you are. Wherever you are. Even if that means that you're in the doctor's office or the lawyer's office, in front of educated men and women. Apostolic power and authority, amen, overwhelms and overpowers the ability of man and the wisdom of man. The Spirit of God is bringing transition that will offend many. And some will not embrace it because they're not divinely called to it and because they don't understand it. But does not that mean that you relinquish your position and authority in the apostolic? That's part of the transitioning part. And it's going to offend many, men and women. But this great move of God is not based on theology or opinions. It's based on the Spirit of God at His operation. So I cannot write you, sign a piece of paper and give it to you and declare that you're walking in the apostolic. It comes directly from the Spirit of God, the heart of God. Chapter 4, adaptable and accommodating. The apostolic church will become adaptable and accommodating to their community. That means that we don't just shut in and we come out. And transmeditation. That nobody can talk to us. Nobody can speak to us. Nobody can touch us. Nobody can embrace us. Nobody can hug us. Because we're so in the Spirit. When you come out, to be able to adapt to your environment. I don't, when I'm talking about adapt, I don't mean get high. But you become all things to all men. You don't hang out in the club. But you, in relationship, understand the hearts of those that are in sin. And those that are not in, on the level that you are. But you may, you must be able to come down and be able to identify and be in relationship with all men. You must be able to embrace all men, no matter what walks of life they come from. And that means sometimes you may even have to give up sleep. That may mean you have to give up TV time. That may mean sometimes you may give up family time. So constantly you have to be on, be adjustable. You must be flexible. Well, why should I be flexible? I'm God's man or woman. Go back in the book of Acts, and you see Peter in the vision with the sheep, with the animals. He had to be adaptable because it was not something that he could understand because he did not ever partake of animals that he considered unclean. But the vision was in direct relationship to those that were unrighteous men or men that were not of the Jewish descent. So you got to be able to reach those that are not of your persuasion. Don't y'all know today that we have racism in the church? We've got to cross those barriers through the apostolic anointing, and that's how those barriers are going to be brought down. We have to go into places, and we have to have the mindset. If you don't have the mindset to do it, when God speaks to you, you're already going to close it off. But if you're going to do the will of God, you got to be adaptable and accommodating to whatever the Spirit of God is descending on you and calling you to, even if folk don't understand. Even if church people don't understand, why are you with them? Why are you wasting time with them? You are called to the apostolic. And so when we feel like we're called to the apostolic, we're called to some great stage to promote ourselves, to promote our book, to promote our CDs, promote our DVDs. That's the incorrect call, and we got to be flexible. And that means at times God may put you in a position where they don't give you an offering. Where you don't get any money. Where you don't get the 5-star hotel. But sometimes you may have to sleep up on the blow up mattress. Sometimes you may have to sleep on the floor. But you have to understand the true essence of why you call. And it's not that God keeps us in the area. There may be times when God open up a door, but we got to be thankful of a few things and understand the truth. No, the floor for the 5-star does not change the direction or the motive of the apostolic call. We stay in the same spirit. We stay in the same frame of mind, no matter where we are. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 9:23, "I become all things to all men, that I might, by all means, save some." So he had an objection. His objection was not to change, but his objection was to reach men, that he may save some. Now, you ain't gonna save everybody, but he had direction, and the direction had to start with him. The change had to come within him. People were not going to change because he stepped in a room and he was an apostle, but by his flexibility, by his mindset of blending in to reach them. You have to, if you're going to change, you got to get in. You first got to get in the door. And so you got to have the mindset of why you're going. So if you got to put the beanie on your head to reach them and the apostolic, that does not take away from your apostolic. That does not take away from who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to understand divine call of what you call and why you call. And sometimes to present the apostolic call or to walk in the apostolic anointing, it takes time. It's a process, day by day. And so you got to be adaptable and accommodating. So we don't go in town and say, I want M&Ms and I want DeSante water. If that's not what's presented to you, we have sometimes being under the word of God, or not even being under the word of God, but having a ministry. Sometimes we feel as though we have superstar status. We're celebrities. This is not the divine call of apostolic. The true apostolic call is walking in humility, knowing that you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. So you surrender those worldly things for the pleasure of Christ, for the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And because men may mistreat you, that's a part of the apostolic call, but you've got to be adaptable and accommodating. Adaptability will be a mark on the apostolic believer, causing them to become a servant and submissive and obedient to God's voice. But you don't belong to the people, you belong to God. And so we have to understand the true call to serve. God has expressed to me, even in the apostolic call, there are going to be times when we have to surrender and give up our very belongings. God says he doesn't want us to complain about it, because he can supply that 100-fold. He can replenish that 100-fold. But he can't replenish if we don't release. So we got to be adaptable, accommodating. Chapter 5, advancing, accelerating, adventuresome, aggressive, audacious, and armed. The apostolic spirit will cause the local church to advance into its destiny and will release understanding, wisdom, revelation, and faith to the strength of God. These are the abilities of God. These things are what causes us. Now you can't walk in wisdom, you can't walk in revelation, can't walk in faith unless you understand. So these four things go hand in hand. And if we're going to advance into our destiny, we surely have to have understanding, wisdom, wisdom, revelation, and faith. This will bring vision to the believers, which will birth God's purpose. None in the apostolic spirit, local churches will thrust into the darkness for the advancement of the kingdom. An excellent spirit will drive believers forward at a rapid pace. Proverbs 17 and 27. Risk takers willing to lose all things to win Christ. Another mark of the apostolic spirit is aggressiveness. They will not give up, back down, or give in, but will challenge error, confront the enemy, subduing and taking dominion. The apostolic church is fully armed, and that God has given them the ability and strategy to conquer the strongholds of the enemy in their communities, regions, states. God's wisdom is upon them, and they are guided by His Spirit. So we are not just divinely ordered to be under God, but we walk in authority. And in essence, what it's saying in chapter 5, we're walking in authority. And our progress is continuous. Not only is our progress continuous, but there's demonstration that is done in our progress. There's attributes that we carry. And as walking in the apostolic, we constantly advance. We advance in the spirit. We advance in the authority. We advance in the ability of God. We advance in health. We advance in wealth. Because God has to allow us to advance that others might grow thereby. In other words, I can't pour into you and say and expect you to grow if I haven't grown. So God has to allow us to process in advancing. Not just in growth, but in ministry as well. Accelerating. And it's at God's pace. But we're constantly moving. And adventuresome. That means we go in places that others won't go. Aggressive. That means that we won't quit. We're going to keep fighting for the call of God. We're going to keep fighting for the ministry of God. And our temptations, we become vigorous. We become rigid. We become fighters, not complainers, but warriors. We become armored. That means we're ready to fight. We come with victory, we come with fight, and we leave with victory. And that's what we have to understand. But we don't come not prepared to fight. So we become armored. Hallelujah. Number six, walk in authority. Apostolic churches will demonstrate new levels of kingdom authority in the spirit realm and the natural realm. Be known in the demonic realm and not be threatened by the forces of evil. So that means that there is nothing in us, as Jesus would say, that Satan had nothing in him. So he was able to produce and he was able to walk out the call of God because what was in his spirit, which was manifested in the flesh. So when we walk in the apostolic, there is nothing that should threaten or hinder the call of God on our lives. Not beneath the earth, not in the earth, not above the earth. And so God has to command us or sanction us to walk in his authority because his apostolic call does come with authority. No longer will we curl up and become wimps by the message, the untruth message that is preached in the earth. God has given us authority that we have say-so, and the enemy cannot continue to function when we step into territory. When we step into a city, we're supposed to bring the apostolic anointing, that that authority that comes along with the call of God on our lives. And there should be a demonstration that is done above the call of the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. We're supposed to bring a divine presence in whatever city, whatever church that we go into. And so when we walk in that authority, I don't care what the enemy does. Even if we're not able to recognize it, we walk in authority. I was allowed the opportunity to go to preach in Georgia to where we established the church in Baxley. There was a young man that was there, and the pastor brought him up to me and asked me to pray for him. And I didn't think anything of it because I had been praying for everybody throughout the service. And I prayed for this man, this young man, and he began to leap and jump. And all of a sudden, this woman that jumped out of her seat and came in between me and the young man. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why, but the pastor embraced her and began to say, "Mama, let him go." And the young man began to run around the church and holler, and he was set free. And I found out a little later that this was the pastor's brother, who had just been released from jail. And he had been to several churches, but the spirit of the enemy was on him, and I didn't know it, but it was told to me that there were two apostles and a bishop that had prayed for them, and the spirit of the devil had jumped up through him and slapped all three of them. But the authority should be constantly surrounding us. But this young man had embraced the spirit of God that was on me. And after God had released him and set him free, that night we sat down and had dinner. The young man couldn't stop talking to me and sharing his heart with me. Never told me what he did to the preachers. But God had covered me because I had commanded that territory before I got there, before we had arrived there. And we walked in that authority. And that when you walk in the authority, the enemy knows who you are. He knows who you are. And we'll walk in revelation of the kingdom that will be done in earth as in heaven, and by faith reach into the heavenly realm and pull down the manifestation into the earthly realm. And walking in the apostolic causes your heart to long for the things of God, and will allow the things of God to be demonstrated through you. The kingdom is presented through you. But it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. You're a pilgrim of the kingdom, and you must demonstrate that you are part of that kingdom. That kingdom must come through you. The kingdom must come to you. And how does it come through you? By God's will being done. Not just in earth, but it happens through earth, through us, and it happens in heaven through God. So in other words, we're co-laboring together that the will of God can be done in the earth and in heaven. That's the apostolic call. That's the kingdom call. They go hand in hand. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, in my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the spirit and of power. So there must be authority behind what God is saying. There must be power. There must be a demonstration of what God is saying. There must be production. And these are the signs of the apostolic church, that signs and wonders follow them that believe. There must be production behind what you're preaching and teaching. Not just laying on hands, but as you minister the word, lives are being changed. Men and women come to Christ as a result of the power, divine power, through the word of God. This is the authority of the apostle. When he speaks, or he or she speaks and declares the word of God in the earth, it brings forth the power, it brings forth the kingdom in the earth, and lives are being changed. Where you don't even lay hands on them, but you spoke the word of God, and hearts come as a result of the spoken word of God. Look down at relationships based on present-day truth will nurture, equip, and activate. relationship based on present day truths would nurture, equip, and activate. These come all in as a result in relationship to God, in our relationship to God. As we minister the present day truth. Number 7, chapter 7, admonishing. The apostolic spirit will bring a new level of admonishment. In other words, it will cause those that are weak in their spirit to believe that in the word of God and believe that the area of ministry that God calls them to, the expectation that God has them to, it will cause them to walk in great faith where they feel as though they can do anything that God has called them to. It will cause men not only to feel as though that they can do anything that God calls them to, but it will also cause their hearts to walk in fear of God and allow them to cease from sin. That's what the apostolic spirit will do. It will change men's heart to the call of God and from the sins that they carry. It will take them from the sins that they carry, where you don't even know those that are sitting amongst you that are sinning, but by divine revelation through the word of God and by the apostolic spirit, it will go into the hearts and minds, the joints and mouth of men, and seek out the sin and will cause men to give up their sin, to submit to the will of God. That's a true apostolic call, where you don't have to lay hands on anybody, but you can share the word of God. You can bring forth the word of God, and it changes the hearts of men. Those that have been procrastinating for years and not doing the will of God, all of a sudden, the apostolic anointing will step in the room and cause men to change their hearts and minds about the call and the will of God for their life. That's when we know the apostolic call is in full effect. Where they say, I can't, or I won't, but I will. I did, but I don't do anymore. That's the true apostolic spirit that is coming in the earth. Those that are sitting in churches and rebelling Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, hear the word and still sinning. The apostolic spirit will come and redirect and change the atmosphere. Even those that did not decide that they don't want to change will remove them from the congregation. And not that we seek to remove them, but the spirit of God will become so strong that either they will change or they will move. So we don't have to just put people out of the church. But when we know that the spirit of God is operating, there's things that you don't know, that as the spirit of God moves, the apostolic spirit of God moves throughout the congregation, throughout our communities, throughout our cities, throughout our state, as the apostolic spirit moves. Those that are living next door to you that are living in sin, that are shacking, they'll change their mind and want to get married. Those that are on the corner selling dope, when the apostolic and the spirit of God moves in the community, they say, I quit. I'm going back to church and I'm going to get a job. It changes the heart of men. That's where the admonishing part comes in. Number 8, educating. Righteous judgment will be a mark in the apostolic church. In other words, truth will be established. What God says in his word and established in his word will be true. And we begin to stand on that and produce that and present that to the church. The righteous God, in other words, we don't become scared to preach against sin because we're going to lose people. And not just that, but we not only preach righteous God, but we live it. True apostolic call calls for us living, and it brings a conviction upon the heart of men. Sometimes you don't have to say anything, but your lifestyle speaks expressly. That is the true mark of the apostolic church. That you walk in the building and don't say anything, and men's heart are convicted of sin. That's the spirit of God. That's the true apostolic spirit of God. That men's heart are convicted even while walking in the room. It's not you, but it's in divine relationship with God. And as you walk with God, God will walk with you. And when you walk in the building, God's going to walk in there too. And when the Spirit of God comes, it brings liberty. It causes men's heart to fail of fear. As they walk in sin, they'll be convicted of sin. And what we say today is that God's judgment is just. God's righteousness is just. Apostolic leaders will have the heart of the Father and understand in all humility that they are responsible for God, to God, for those in their sphere of care. In your cities, in your states, God has called you to that. There's a reason why you're in Florida. There's a reason why you're in Georgia. There's a reason why you're in Alabama. Some have divinely moved, and some were birthed there. But there's a reason why God has called you to where he's called you to. And he's giving you clarity and understanding that you're not just there to be a Floridian. Jesus didn't call you to be a Carolinian, but he's called you to establish the apostolic spirit back to the church, and when it's back in the church, then it becomes expressed in the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it starts with us. And God, and if judgment must first begin in the house of God, judgment must first begin in the house of God. Accountable and affiliated. An undeniable characteristic in the apostolic church will be accountability one to another. Just because we walk in the apostolic don't mean that we don't answer or we should not answer to anybody. But we also need that sounding board that we need to come in agreement with. We can't just rely on our own ability, but those that have come before us, that God has established, that carries the wisdom in the apostolic, we must embrace them. Number one, to receive a double portion of his spirit. Not only so, and we look in the we look with Paul in the book of Acts when he was preaching to the church of Ephesus in Corinth. He went back into Corinth. He went back to Jerusalem to establish his doctrine with the other disciples, that they were all on the same page. No, they did not cover him, but they were in agreement with him. And sometimes we may make decisions that we need that sounding board, or we're going to make decisions and we need that sounding board that we can get in relation and agreement with. Those that are going in the same direction, those that can impart into us. And walking in the apostolic, amen, sometimes we may feel like we have the answers, but sometimes we need that sounding board. We may be making the wrong decision. So we need to be held accountable. And not just, amen, to our leaders, but to one another in relationship to lifestyle, in relationship to ministry, in a relationship to authority. For the love of Christ reigns, there is no shame amongst brethren, no intimidation and no fear of rejection, but a closeness and confidence based on the word of God. When leaders have separated themselves to their own denomination, organization will begin to hunger for relationship of like heart as they embrace an apostolic spirit. That means that if you decide to separate yourself, you'll become lonely in your walk. But you need others that to identify, to embrace, or to encourage the move of God in your life as it pertains to the apostolic call, the apostolic anointing, or the apostolic ministry. You need those that, as a body, in relation, as it relates to the call of God on your life, as it relates to the anointing of God on your life. Every now and then, we can all attest that we need to be stirred. Every now and then, we need to be reminded. And there's times when God connects you as divine connection in the apostolic, that God will put those around you that will produce encouragement in your life to continue doing the will of God as it pertains to the apostolic call on your life, on your ministry. This is how it relates to the love of God, that we need one another. We need one another as it pertains to ministry. Number 10, accurate, alert, and awake. The apostolic church is one that has risen out of complacency and will be militant, alert, discerning of the time, undistracted by surrounding circumstances. Prayer warriors demonstrate God's power in the natural realm. In other words, it sounds as if this apostolic call is called as a military soldier, as pertains to militant. In other words, you don't leave your post unless you properly relieve. You stand fast. You stand alert. You know what's going on. You know your surroundings. A soldier must always know his surroundings, must know his environment as it relates to the attack of the enemy. And we don't allow things to come to distract us from our point of where God has placed us. And we stay in constant prayer. We stay in constant relationship with God, not just for ourselves, but for others that are going through the same battle. And as a result, God's power is demonstrated in the earthly realm. Now, chapter 11, arbitrating and affectionate. The apostolic church will live based on kingdom principles, God's system of operating. They have no desire to function according to the systems of the world, but will look to the wisdom of God, of godly counsel. That means you don't look to the world for ideas for the ministry, but you look to God for the next move of God in relates to the apostolic church. That's why it's separated, because it has its own divine move, and the divine move comes straight from the throne room of God. It comes straight from the mind of God. So you cannot mix the world's wisdom. You cannot mix the world's move with the divine move of God. It has to be separate. It cannot reach if it's tainted. It cannot reach if it becomes a part of. So it has to function, and it has to be separate, and it has to have its own entity, which comes divinely from heaven, from the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Apostles are rising whom God will use in wisdom and discernment to reconcile divisions in the church, demonstrate to the secular realm, and will be called on for counsel, direction, and instruction. There's abilities that God has placed in us and that we've got to begin to produce and we've got to bring forth. Because if this great move of God and this establishment is going to come, we have to have order. And we can't have order if we're fighting and bickering against one another. And this is where the apostolic or the apostles come into play. They have to begin to establish and to get the people on the same page. And the message may change for different places as we go and we look in Revelation and we see the seven churches. The message is not same, it's not the same for every place. But as we divinely seek the heart of God and the mind of God, God will reveal to us the word in the hour for that particular place, for that particular setting. We have to bring order. And what God is doing, he's divinely orchestrating in every place the word for that particular place to bring it all into one. The areas that God needs the ministry to be brought up or to be strengthened, he's bringing it all into one place, one common place in him and through him. So how does this happen? It must be established through the apostles and the prophets that God has established in the earth. Chapter 12, addicted, alcoholic, absorbent, adhesive. adhesion. The apostolic spirit will cause believers to become addicted to the ministry of the saints, demonstrate of the love of Christ in serving. In other words, when we walk in the apostolic and the church stands where it's supposed to, it becomes a light that sits on the hill that cannot be hid. As we walk in and we walk out and we walk in the presence of God, we become illuminated and we become desires of the world, that they want what we have. That's the true apostolic, embracing the liberty of the Spirit. The apostolic church has abandoned itself to the will of the Father. They hunger for more of God and all that he has provided in Christ, and have relinquished all pride and dignity for a touch of the Master's hand, designed to be consumed by whatever the Spirit wants to do. So we just don't come and desire the move, but we desire the will. Those that come desire the will of God, because that's what's being produced through the apostolic, the will and the mindset of God. And whatever God wants to do, we allow him to do it, and it produces in like kind. When we hook up with God and we in direct connection with God, it produces like kind. Creation groans and groans for the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Affirming, that chapter 12, affirming and appreciative. The apostolic prophetic spirit imparts a fatherly spirit to pastors and leaders, which will in turn bring forth a desire to recognize the people. In other words, God has called you to walk in the fatherly. In other words, God has called you to incorporate under the apostolic sons and daughters. In other words, who are you imparting to? With all the knowledge and wisdom and the Spirit of God that's on you, who are you imparting to? Who are you developing for the next level of ministry that God is calling for? Who are you establishing in the ministry? This is the call of apostolic. We must establish the hearts. In other words, we just don't have members to the church, but we establish them as sons and daughters. We just don't have churches that are under us as it pertains to how many churches I have, but to establish them in the faith and establish them in the apostolic. It starts with one. Then it starts with two. Then it starts with three. We have to begin the production of developing sons and daughters. But everything that God imparts into us and allows to be instructed to us, there is a place that we must impart that same thing. In other words, God didn't give you a word for yourself, but he gave it for true sons and daughters. And it doesn't mean that everyone that sits under the sound of your voice is going to receive. True sons and daughters receive the true word of their father. So they identify. And when they identify, they walk out and they live what their father or mother or the Spirit of God is bringing forth, is instructing them with. This is the true call understanding of sons and daughters, that the instructions that is given, they don't bumble over it and they don't mess over it, but they yield themselves wholeheartedly to the Spirit of God, not to you, but to the Spirit of God that lies within you. And they follow the instruction that God gives them through you by his Spirit, which will in turn bring forth a desire to recognize their people. And that means that as we walk in the apostolic, we don't put the spotlight on us, but we encourage those and we affirm those that are laboring amongst us, that God has sent forth under our care, under our watchful care, that we constantly produce encouragement. We constantly stir up their gifts. We constantly keep them in mind of who they are. Chapter 14, ascetic. Sacrifice and generosity will be marks of the apostolic church. They will thrive in giving bountifully to the poor and needy, work of the ministry, needs of the brethren. And if we're going to have a divine move in the authority of giving, we must be first givers ourselves. But we cannot produce and we cannot impart the Spirit of God in the teaching or the area of getting others to impart or teaching the apostolic church of the giving except we be first partakers ourselves. And as a result, because you got to remember, in the apostolic church, they're sheep, and they don't know. They have to be led. But as a result, the production or the fruit that is being produced as a result of us sowing seed is produced in the heart of men, and they become a part. As Corinthians was a part of the giving to the Macedonian church, they embraced it because Paul lived it and he taught it. He was an example. And even he, when he came to town, he said that he wouldn't be a burden. He worked with his own two hands. They realized, understand that the Father God is the source and all things belong to him and that he will bring the increase on seed sown in love. And so the apostolic mindset knows that they trust in God for all things, and God will reward them diligently for their giving. And to walk in the apostolic, we cannot be selfish. We cannot embrace and hold what God has divinely given us. Because the ministry must function, it must grow, and it just doesn't grow by divine power, but it also grows and develops by our giving. Chapter 15, advertising, father-son relationship, apprenticing. Father-son relationships will be developed as the apostolic spirit is imparted into churches that receive the apostle, which will bring forth wisdom and practical skill for establishing eldership. True call in relationship as father and son is to receive, to give knowledge, and to receive knowledge. Give knowledge and receive knowledge. Though we've not seen much of this in times past, mentoring will become valuable, pouring oneself into another, as Elijah and Elisha, apostles will eagerly impart to those under their care, making ready a people for the equipped, functioning to fulfill. And so we can't use partial apostolic ministry. We need total, complete, fulfilled, developed, matured apostolic ministry. And that comes as a result of father-son relationship. We're having too many premature babies in the ministry. And God has to fully develop and build. And that comes through the apostolic apostles or prophets and been established in ministry to build up the saints of God. Chapter 16, affluent abounding. Abundance will be in the apostolic church, 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, and abound in every respect. Areas where abundance will be seen, to name a few, hope, faith, love, utterance, diligence, wisdom, judgment, gifts of the Spirit, and finances. How will abundance be manifest? Manifold grace. It's all through the grace of God. In other words, it's not something that we work for or earn, but it comes through the grace of God. And we know that grace operates in different areas. Or grace is in operation in different areas. The apostolic church understands how to activate and walk in this grace and will excessively and receive excessively. That is divine calling. Call it into the apostolic that God will provide everything we need in abundance. So as a result of yielding in the apostolic and allowing God to manifest through your life, you will receive or the ministry will receive in abundance. That means that we don't have to beg and plead for anything, but it's divinely given to us as a result of the apostolic call and the apostolic anointing that's on our life. Men were given to your bosom. Chapter 17, ardent, aflame, or fire. The apostolic prophet church is determined to reach the lost for Christ and will blaze with the Holy Ghost fire, passion, zeal, and enthusiasm, love, and vision. That means if you walk in these areas, that you're committed totally to the work of God. And not only committed, but as a result, these are attributes that come forth. You just can't help it. As you give yourself over to God, God releases you to do more and more. And not only that, but you love what you do. You embrace what you do. And as you do it, you continue to give more. You do more. You don't stop. You don't quit. But you keep producing and you keep going forward. And you keep allowing yourself to be extended more and more through ministry. References Acts, early church, Revelations 2. Jesus exhibited apostolic prophetic mantle walking through the seven churches, Titus 2 and 14, Philippians 3 and 10. Chapter 18, releasing the apostolic from prison. Prayer and acceptance of the full release of apostle and apostolic spirit upon the church. Praise God. We thank God for the teaching on tonight. We embrace the spirit of God in the apostolic. Let's go on a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for the gifts that are on this line. I thank you for all the